Pulling the ark together. So purpose is now going to be synthesis and orientation, and we want to close without dilution. Isaiah 13:27 can be read as a unified argument rather than isolated episodes of judgment and hope. Judgment clears what cannot endure. Truth prepares the way for life. Joy follows justice. So if we step back from Isaiah 13 through 27, a single arc comes into focus. Yes, judgment leads to clearing, and clearing makes joy possible. Isaiah has shown us that judgment is not God's abandonment of the world, but his refusal to lie about it. Judgment names what is broken. It exposes false security and it dismantles illusions of permanence that cannot sustain life. And that clearing is necessary. And so we see across these chapters, judgment widens from Judah to Babylon, from Babylon to the nations, and finally to the whole world. It's coherence. And if truth is real, it applies everywhere. And if redemption is real, it must be as wide as a judgment that prepares for it. So, Isaiah 24, we recall we saw what happens when truth is treated as optional. The world becomes unstable. Isaiah 25 shows what becomes possible once truth has been faced. Death itself is confronted and overcome. And Isaiah 26 teaches that righteousness is learned through trust and discipline. Now, Isaiah 27 shows judgment completing its work, not through destruction, but through pruning that restores life. That is the pattern Isaiah refuses to let us forget. There's no redemption without truth, and there's no joy without justice. Justice here is not vengeance, it is right order restored. Its truth is reestablished and life's aligned again with what is real. Isaiah ends this section not with fear, but with care, not with collapse, but restoration. The vineyard lives because it's been pruned. The feast appears because the ground has been cleared. If Isaiah presses anything upon us, it is this. God does not judge in order to destroy what he loves. He judges in order to save it. So this arc from judgment to joy is intentional, and it's the shape of redemption itself. So we had some key scripture anchors. Isaiah 13:1, judgment begins with power that claims permanence. Isaiah 24:5, moral disorder named as the cause of collapse. Isaiah 25:6, joy and life restored for all peoples after judgment. Isaiah 26:3, 26:7, peace and righteousness learned through trust and discipline. Isaiah 27:2-3, and 27:9. Judgments completed as pruning that which restores life. Those verses trace that full movement from exposure to restoration.
Yeah. I so appreciate you, Karen, and the way that you've just put this all together, because I think it gives me such a deeper appreciation for these chapters, to sort of step back. And I think so often when we read the Bible, we do it chapter by chapter, kind of misunderstanding that there is a thread that flows and connects certain portions. And you can, so if I just love the breakdown of this to go from 13 to 27, because if you just read all those first chapters and then stop at 24, you're really missing the full picture. And it's so crucial that we, approach scripture in this way with understanding context and the deeper connection of certain chapters and realizing that we don't want to cut ourselves short by, ending before the story's actual end. Because you could just, be trapped in despair if you stopped at 24. And I just really appreciate your putting this all together.
Thank you, and I thank you, Micah, for suggesting Isaiah at the beginning. It's always good to refresh my mind. How did we end up in the Shakespeare of some will say of the whole Bible, but then we've got Paul to put in the count. So we can certainly say the Shakespeare of the Old Testament. Micah said that. He goes, "Let us study Isaiah," and my mind says, "Yes, let's study Shakespeare." Greater minds than ours have done that. People have incredibly busy lives, for one reason or another. And if, let's say, they don't have the wherewithal, the idea doesn't come to them to be able to study this in toto, maybe they don't have the time for it. Maybe they're so tired after doing two jobs, the wife, the kids, taking care of mom and dad who are aging. Friends, I know these people, right? I know these people. They don't, so they'll lean into someone else if they even think about it to help them. And if those people they lean into are not, and we don't even have to look for negative aspersions. Maybe they themselves were never taught how to look at some of this. This is where manipulation or wrong thoughts start to creep in. So I think what Mike and I we try to do is try to bring some, I hate to use the word balanced, but scholarship, if you will, that stood this test of time and has a broad look within a space that he and I have in our lives to do that, so that we don't end up in sentimentality or moral indifferent or despair. And then we can somehow package all of this together. And what is it? Our Lord gave us his very self. He gave us his spirit that dwells within us through the sacrament of baptism so that we can call God Abba. Yes. Yes.
What a gift.
It is what a gift. What a gift, my friends. All right. Till the next time, fides erratio.